May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our loving Father and his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's text is from Peter's second letter, chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Friends in Christ, in the name of Jesus, our loving Savior, one day a young man noticed a lone sunflower plant growing in the middle of other plants in his wife's flower garden. And he didn't think much about it at first, but it had grown to about 3 feet tall, and his initial instinct was just to yank it out of the ground because it didn't seem like it belonged there whatsoever. And the other plants had been carefully placed in their proper spots and cultivated over the last few years, kind of like my wife's new landscaping garden in the back we did a couple years ago, and she just has a place for every different plant, and of course the landscaper suggested all that too. She's doing some changes, but keeps the weeds out very well. But this sunflower plant didn't really fit in. His wife thought kind of differently. Just leave it alone and, you know, we'll see what it looks like someday. Little did he know the lesson that would come from that one sunflower plant. Friends in Christ, God loves growth. He makes it possible, doesn't he? He especially loves growth in people. The human body, as we look at it, is designed tremendously, creatively, for growing. Certainly, we see this in the very human cycles in life, beginning from an infant before being born, a fetus, as some would call a child in the womb, and all throughout childhood, teenage years, young adulthood, until we have gray hairs on our heads. I try to remind my grandson, at least I did about 10 years ago, I don't have to anymore. Zachary, about 10 years ago, was in junior high school and middle school, as you call it, and he was shorter than his twin sister, Morgan. That often happens with boys around about 6th, 7th grade. The girls take off. But now we were over in Buffalo to have lunch with our twins. One is, Zachary's finishing college, and the other's working as a caregiver in a nursing home. And didn't have to remind him again that he was no longer shorter than his sister. About 6'1". And I think his sister Morgan, I wouldn't tell her this, but I think she was about the same height now as she was back in junior high. Just a short little gal, but full of lots of love and joy and happiness. So, there are growth plates in bones, and we know that some even have growing pains, literally. I had a student in my confirmation class that was getting to be almost 5 feet or 6 feet tall, and he had growing pains in his knees. He actually had to have medical attention because he was growing too fast, and he just became a real tall fella in high school. There are growth plates in process that we go through. As these growth plates lengthen, of course, the muscles, the tendons, the ligaments grow along with the bones. But also God has placed into our minds a curiosity, a love for learning and knowledge and growth mentally as well as psychologically. However, God also loves, of course, above all, spiritual growth. In all of us, we are his people. We are the children of God. It's easy to understand the process of bodily and intellectual, emotional growth and maturity in our lives because we can see it. And we can measure it to some extent, but spiritual growth is a little different. It's not so easily measured by a yardstick or a Bible information test of some sort. We can get the facts and so forth. Yes, we know a lot about the Bible and the teachings of the Lutheran Church, the Missouri Synod doctrines and all of that. But spiritually, we really can't measure where we stand in our hearts, can we? That's up to God. Our text today reminds us that God desires growth, but he also causes growth and he directs growth so that children of all ages may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God loves growth tremendously. You know, often as parents and teachers, we find ourselves doing a whole lot more pruning than we do planting as we try to discipline our kids, our students, young people. We kind of strategize and we struggle to nurture them in the right way and feed them, to recognize that every student we have is a privilege because they have their own talents and gifts and potential far beyond what we can even imagine. And before we shape them, we need to share with them, giving them words of encouragement especially, really noticing the individuality of each child, of each person, student that we work with. Wow, you're getting to be a good artist. I know God is going to do something big, something amazing with your life. Or you have such a kind spirit. The way you show your love of Jesus to others is just awesome. Or I'm so proud of you as a young lady, the young lady that you're becoming. God has great plans for you. You see, it's a matter of catching children and young people doing good things. We often catch them doing wrong things, and we make a big deal about that, but catch them doing right things, and you will see how their eyes light up and how your encouragement stays with them very often the rest of their lives. They will look upon you as a teacher, an influence in their life, a mentor that made a difference in their lives. Because you see, there are many ways that children learn. Many of them are divergent thinkers, thinking outside of the box. I had a student in my confirmation class had a tremendous IQ. He would read something, he'd already know it. He'd memorize it just by looking at photographic memory. But he had one fault: he wouldn't bring his homework. He'd do his homework, but he'd forget where he left it or something. In my confirmation class, he would never have his written work done. But I could ask him any questions, and he would have the answers. Take any quiz or test, and I gave quizzes every single week, and he would do very fine on it. But he had difficulty in school, too, on into high school. Barely graduated from high school, and yet this high IQ. He had to spend a special time with tutors and so forth because he learned in a different way outside of the box. On into college, same difficulties, dropped out, he's in the military. And I would say one day I'm going to hear that he's working for the CIA, he's doing some intelligence work, maybe in the spy programs, whatever it might be, because God has given him different gifts for learning. And, of course, that applies to a lot of people. They don't always grow and learn according to the way we think they should or the way we do things. Growth always requires an outside source of power. Plants, of course, need sunlight to grow and other things. Body needs to have food, good food, nourishment to grow. The mind needs educational experiences to develop properly. And likewise, the soul needs the power that only comes from Christ, the Holy Spirit working through us. Jesus once said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Once we cut ourselves off from Jesus, the vine, and connected to Jesus through our baptism, remaining in him through his word that comes to us through the spoken word, through coming to worship, hearing the spoken word, reading his spoken word, we are strengthened all the more in Christ Jesus, and also, of course, through the body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine given for our strengthening each and every week, the strengthening of our faith, the reassurance of our faith that we can continue to build upon and grow. Just as a plant just cannot grow without the light of the sun, we can't grow without the light of the Son of God emanating through us every day. We can grow only by God's grace. A Christian businessman one time tells this story about one of his workers. You see, the police had arrested his employee at the factory where he worked, charging him with vandalizing his ex-wife's house. But the manager, his boss, decided not to fire him. He said, "I thought about it. I thought about it. But I've only fired two people in my 30 years as manager." You know, people go through various struggles in their life. And I discovered that if you just stick with these people, help them through their struggles, everything will work out well in the end. I don't know how that all worked out in the end with this man that had not really lived in a very Christian way, but having been given a second chance, perhaps even another chance, I'm thinking God blessed both the manager and this young man to find a way for things to work out right in his life. And that reminds me of God's grace, how God sticks with us through our struggles, through our failures, shortcomings, mistakes. And because of his grace, things do turn out all right at the end. We know that because he's already said that he has prepared a place for us in heaven. It's already done, accomplished by Christ's cross and resurrection. All that Jesus did was full of grace, motivated by God's love and compassion for us. And when he forgave and healed the paralyzed man, it was his grace in action. He showed grace when he astonished Martha and admonished Martha, who was so busy in the kitchen while her sister was there, soaking up every word that Jesus spoke. He showed grace. He showed grace when he invited Zacchaeus, that little man that had climbed up the tree in order to, kids love that story, climbed up the tree in order to see him, because they love to climb trees for one thing, but they also are not that tall yet. And then Jesus came to his house and showed tremendous grace and love to this tax collector. And he showed grace when he multiplied the bread and the fish for the masses of people. And above all, he showed tremendous grace when he went to the terrible and horrible tree of the cross for our sake, for our forgiveness, our salvation. And then the awesome resurrection, 3 days later, he showed grace, offering us everlasting life. And hearing about this good news, this great news, again and again, never grows old. I've noticed over the years as a pastor, and Larry, you can probably bear me out on this, every time in my sermon when I've come upon the words of gospel, my gospel message, the cross, the resurrection, people's eyes, all of a sudden, I've got their attention again. They may be sleeping a little bit up till that point, getting through the law, probably. But when they hear the gospel, every time I see people's eyes right at me, they want to hear more. They're hungry for more because that's what makes them grow closer to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we see the grace of Jesus portrayed in the scriptures. We can recognize his grace then in our own lives because, after all, these people of the Bible are no different from us. And we can identify that God has patience and long-suffering with us as well as them. And we receive his forgiveness for ourselves through the means of grace. And if I ask someone, define for me the means of grace, It often does draw a bit of silence. What are the means of grace? It's not that difficult. It's baptism. It's the Lord's Supper. It's God's Word. Those three that bring about the channeling of God's grace from heaven to each and every one of us personally. He gives us, through these means of grace, the grace, undeserved love, amazing grace of God. And he showed grace constantly to us every day of our lives. We can know his direction. We can receive his guidance for our life by hearing and reading his word, following it, of course. And his salvation becomes ours. His amazing grace toward us empowers us to be grace-filled and graceful believers, especially for those closest to us in our homes, in our families. Because isn't it true that you can pretty well know the faults and the mistakes and the weaknesses of those in your family better than anybody else? Maybe some friends you could also know where they need God's grace and where they need your grace, often patience, mercy as well towards them. Demonstrate God's grace that you are growing to others, and they will grow also. And his grace enables us to be patient with an unlikable coworker, that person that is the hardest to get along with sometimes. I remember as a kid in sixth grade, my teacher placed me right next to the toughest kid in class. His name was Chuck Killian. And that last name, kids were so afraid of him. He was the biggest kid in class because he had flunked a couple years. Didn't want to do anything in school. But she put me next to him. And so I just had to learn to get along with him. He was very intimidating, but we played in recess together, shot baskets, and eventually I think he did improve, all to the grace of God and that teacher. I don't want to take the credit for it. His grace, God's grace, always inspires us to be compassionate to our neighbor's needs. The best way to get to know people, to help people, is to grow in your ability to listen to them, as well as observe them in all these different circumstances in life. And it's the same with our Lord Jesus. The best way to get to know him is to do as Mary did. Sit at his feet. Open your ears. Listen to him. As we listen to the scriptures, think of it as Jesus talking to you personally. Paul's letters, the New Testament, Jesus talking to you personally. His letters, God's letters to you personally. And this also, of course, takes place as we study in a group of fellow Christians together, maybe not of the same opinion, but that's okay. That's how we can grow, by listening to others' experiences and different opinions and viewpoints. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And my sheep listen to my voice and follow me." And that's exactly what every year's theme in Sunday school and education, Christian education, should be. They listen to my voice and they follow me. That's what it's about, plain and simple. In hearing the voice of the Lord, we get to know him better and better and better. And as we see our Lord acting in Scripture, we get to know him better too. And through Scripture, we see the joy of Jesus at a wedding, as he turns water into wine. Yes, he was emotional too, and he shows his emotion in many ways. We see Jesus in stressful situations, of course, such as when he was on the Sea of Galilee and a storm came up, and we see Jesus relaxed, teaching his disciples, even sharing a few jokes with them about the camel through the eye of a needle and, you know, that kind of types of hyperboles. And then we see him in fervent prayer, coming apart from the disciples, coming apart, going apart from the mobs of people that wanted this and wanted that, and he prayed. We also see Jesus in the midst of tremendous crisis, the death of a loved one, a friend, or facing his very own death. Yes, in Scripture we see his constant, consistent love and grace. And we know he is consistent in his love and give thanks for that with us. According to a George Barna survey some years ago, I think it was about 10 years ago, 61% of Americans actually believe the Bible is totally accurate in all its teachings. And that was pretty good for then. I think that percentage would be a lot lower today. 41% at that time read the Bible, though, in a given week, about 20% less. Do you believe the Bible is accurate in all its teachings? Do you really believe that God's authority, and he's not going to lie to us, that's his word? Do you really read it then on a regular basis? We need to commit ourselves. We need to commit our congregation, First Trinity, to growing. And that's really what we're talking about, not numbers so much as growing spiritually. God helps us to do just that, to follow the direction that can only come through his Son. He helps us grow by his grace given to us regularly through the word and sacrament. There is no other way than through him. And as we grow, we can take no credit for that for ourselves. It is God alone who brings the increase. It is God alone that will bring the increase in people converted to Christ, following him faithfully in this congregation. Not me, not any pastor that you might call. Might be the best looking young man you've ever seen. You love his voice, you love his intellect and his ability with scriptures, but give credit only to God. He may be an attractive force for people in the community to flock to First Trinity. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Every single place here filled up. But only God will give the increase. Only God. The young man that I referred to before at the very beginning had just come back from being away for a few days, and as he drove into the driveway, before his very eyes was this incredible sunflower plant. Never had he seen one sunflower with over 50 blossoms on it. He didn't even know anything like that existed. Well, his son looked at it on his way to school and he said, "Dad, did you see there? There are at least 50 more blossoms on that sunflower plant. Do you think they'll bloom also?" And Dad said, "Who knew? Who knew?" Just think, before he wanted to uproot that 3-foot plant that didn't seem to belong, didn't seem worth keeping. Sometimes a child in Sunday school may not seem like the best student and may not fit in, or in Bible class, whatever it might be, or a person that becomes a member of this church, not like all the others, maybe growing in Christ outside of the box, different than us or different than the rest of the class. But God thinks he's worth keeping. God thinks she's okay for your class. Children and youth in our ministries here are very fertile ground, very fertile soil, just waiting for seeds of hope to be planted in their hearts and minds. And more than anything, they're looking for you, for us, to invest our time and efforts and ourselves in the process of sharing our faith with them. And they with us, by the way. The faith of a little child can really open your eyes sometimes. And one thing teachers always notice, they themselves grow as they help their students to grow. So may God truly bless our ministries here at First Trinity of Christian Education, both in our church, in our families, as we consider all that we do in this place, all that we desire for our Sunday school and our youth classes and confirmation, adult instruction. And there is cost in terms of time and volunteer service and even in funds. Fix your ears upon this very promise. He who did not spare his only son but gave him up for us all, will he not freely give us all things? Indeed, it's a statement, isn't it? He will freely give us all things. My friends, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, no matter what your age. Sometimes we still, 69, 70 years old, I still think like a young person. Feel like I'm 18. Grow in the grace and love of our Savior Jesus Christ. To God be all the glory and honor forever and ever as we grow in Him. Amen. The peace of God which passes our understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus always. Amen.